Ready ka na ba sa summer heat ng Dubai? Pastor, nandito na ang summer. That's true. I checked yung temperature ng kotse last week and I've seen umakyat na po siya ng 48 degrees Celsius. And I have the photo to prove it. So, nararamdaman na po natin na pataas na ng pataas na ang temperature. So, I made a check online kung ano ba mga pwede natin, ano ba mga tips in order for us to prepare pagdating ho sa unforgiving heat ng Dubai. So, I saw 10. Sabi dyan, 10 tips, ito yung title niya, 10 tips to survive the summer heat in Dubai. Talaga yung word survive. First of all, wear summer-friendly clothing. Summer-friendly. Kanina, nag-uusap kami ni Pastor John, sabi ko na, siguro pagdating na ng summer, kailangan magbarong na lang tayo. And then, siguro maganda kung may mga bulaklakin yung barong mo. Para summer na summer. So, wear summer-friendly clothing. Siguro hindi mga makakapal. Second, sabi niya, SPF is your best friend. SPF, yung mga suntan lotions. Depende sa taas ng SPF na gusto mo. Third, shield your eyes. I have no idea what that means. Shield your eyes. Ano ba yun? Of course, shades. Yun. Now I know. Okay. Fourth, stay hydrated. Fifth, eat small portions frequently. This is bad news. No. Karamihan sa atin. Six, beach or pool, it's all cool. O, di ba? So, ito na yung time na kung saan kailangan natin mag-enjoy yung pool or beach. Eight, avoid cold showers. Interesting. Nine, avoid the hottest hours. Wow, that's true. Ayun yung pag-check ko, yung 48, na that's around 12 noon. And number 10, which is yung kinalulungkot ko sa listahan, try to avoid caffeine. That means, nakakalungkot yan sa mga coffee drinkers. I feel your pain. Sa ating mga matagal ng expats dito sa Dubai, we don't need reminders pagdating na ng summer ng Dubai. We know what preparations to make as we face the fiery heat wave of ng summer ng Dubai. Pero, paano naman sa mga expats of this world? How should we prepare for the fiery trials that will come our way as we live for Christ? How should the church prepare for such suffering? Well, our passage ngayong umaga addresses this issue. And titignan na po natin ngayon sa last chapter ng 1 Peter. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. Tayo po ay nasa huling bahagi na ng ating sermon mini-series sa 1 Peter, where we focus our studies in chapter 4 at saka chapter 5. Ang letter na ito ay sinulat ni Apostle Peter sa mga churches ng Asia Minor who are experiencing persecution dahil sa kanilang pananampalataya kay Kristo. Peter sends a letter to encourage them, to remind them that these sufferings, that the suffering that these saints are experiencing are normal. It's because they are no longer citizens of this world. They are now aliens and strangers and foreigners of this world or expats of this world. Thus, people will find them strange and ludicrous. At ang ibang mga expats sa mundong ito, they should not be marked by retaliation and rebellion. Instead, expats of this world should demonstrate their faith by submitting to authorities, submitting to their unbelieving masters, unbelieving husbands, and to continue doing God's will amidst of all of the abuses and injustices. They are to show love and generosity to their enemies, just like Jesus. For the past couple of weeks, nakita natin na Peter constantly reminds and prepares the church in Asia Minor sa chapter 4 na suffering is inevitable. Suffering is inevitable sa mga followers ni Jesus Christ. Since Christ suffered on the cross in obeying the will of God, lahat ng mga Christ followers should prepare to suffer living for the will of God. Peter gave them and us, ngayong umaga, instructions on how to live as expats in this world while waiting for Christ's return. Ngayong umaga, Peter concludes his letter by giving final instructions to specific people, groups of people sa church, as they prepare for suffering. Ang prayer ko po sa atin ngayong umaga na ito is that we would see the glorious truth of our Shepherd King, Jesus. That we would continue to live in humble reliance sa Kanya and trust Him even in the midst of suffering as He returns. The main idea or point ng ating passage this morning is this. Expats of this world are called to face suffering with humility, firmness of faith, and praise. Expats of this world are called to face suffering with humility, firmness of faith, and praise. I just divided this passage into two points and very direct. Number one, instructions for pastors, verses 1 to 4. And number two, instructions for members, verses 5 to 14. And what I mean by members, church members. Number one, instructions for pastors. As mentioned a couple of weeks ago, alam ni Peter, as persecution escalates from the outside, tension intensifies from the inside. And this puts strain sa mga church members. Kaya crucial kung papaano i-handle ng mga church leaders ang situation. Kaya inuna ni Peter bigyan ng instructions ay yung mga leaders. Tingnan niyo yung verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Ang word po na elder is a term that is used interchangeably with overseer or bishop or shepherd and pastor. So interchangeable po ang gamit ng elder at pastor. Kaya po dito sa Crossroads, we use pastors and elders interchangeably. Kaya minsan mapapansin nyo, I address myself as one of the elders. Sometimes I address myself as a senior pastor kasi wala naman siya pinagkaiba. So if it's in the Bible, we'll use it. All right? So nothing too confusing about that. Meron po tayong 6 pastors or 6 elders dito sa Crossroads. Dalawa doon ay full-time, kasama po ang inyong lingkod. At yung iba naman ay lay pastors. When you say lay pastors or lay elders, sila po ay may mga full-time vocational jobs sa labas or secular jobs. You can turn to page 18 ng bulletin to know who they are or who we are. So, ang in-address ni Peter dito sa letter na ito ay mga pastors. So verse 1, or elders ng mga iba't ibang local churches sa Asia Minor. Remember, this letter is not just sent to a particular church, but churches in Asia Minor. So now he is writing to pastors or elders to address itong, to give itong instruction or exhortation as they prepare themselves for suffering. And he's going to make an appeal to these pastors who are ministering to suffering members. Pero bago siya magbigay ng appeal, he first identifies with them 3 areas. First of all, he identified with them as a pastor to fellow brothers. Bilang isang matanda at seasoned na pastor, si Peter, nauunawaan niya ang pressures sa pastoral ministries na pinagdadaanan niya. So this is one of his way pastorally speaking to hurting pastors. I understand. Pastor din ako. And a seasoned one. Second, he identifies with them as a witness of the suffering of Christ. Kung meron man tao na nakasaksi ng suffering ni Jesus, si Peter po yon. Because he was there. Because nandun siya all throughout, halos sa ministry ni Jesus. Nandun siya sa Nazareth nung kinaladkad si Jesus ng mga taong bayan sa Luke 4 upang itulak sa bangin. Nandun siya nung sinabi ni Jesus sa Matthew 8, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." Nandun siya habang nagtuturo si Jesus sa isang maliit na bahay na punong-puno ng tao, tapos yung nanay at mga kapatid niya pinapatawag siyang lumabas at pinahihinto kasi ang tingin sa kanya nasisiraan na ng bait. He was there. Nandun siya sa Garden of Gethsemane nung dinakip si Jesus ng mga sundalo. Actually, he didn't stay that long. Umalis siya sa takot. But he was there nung dinakip siya sa Matthew 26. Nandun siya when Jesus was on trial and was mocked, falsely accused, and judged by the religious leaders. Nandun siya when Jesus turned to look at him after the rooster crowed the third time as he denied him. Luke 22. Maaring nandun siya, or maybe from a distance, we're not sure, when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was there. He has seen everything. Peter has witnessed the sufferings of Christ, and this affected his life deeply and permanently. Kaya alam niya yung sinasabi niya. Just a side note, a quick question sa atin. How does Christ's suffering on the cross affect your life right now? Did the cross of Christ affect you deeply and permanently? He identifies as a fellow elder. He identifies as a witness of Christ's suffering. Third, he identifies with them as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Again, Peter gives dito, makikita ito all throughout sa theme ng 1 Peter, ni eschatological encouragements ni Peter, which means the end times encouragements na the hope that every Christian has ay yung hope of the coming Christ. Because when Christ comes, everything will be made right. That is the encouragement na lagi binibigay ni Peter, yung eschatological encouragement niyan. It will end soon when Christ comes. So persevere. He is encouraging them with future glory, future grace, and future eternal joy with Christ for eternity. Just like Jesus, suffering comes first before glory. After pastorally identifying with them, he now gives the appeal. Ano ngayon ang appeal na ihihingi niya sa mga pastors ng Asia Minor? And he's urging them. Sabi sa verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. That is the request, or that is the command, or that is the, he's urging them to do that. He appeals and urges them to shepherd the flock of God. Or he's saying, take care of Jesus' suffering sheep. Because you know context, they're suffering. And there's more suffering to come. Give them a shepherd's care. Shepherd the church. This is how to care for them as they face suffering. Don't abandon them. Huwag niyong pagalitan if sila yung humihinga na sa inyo na may mga mabibigat na hindi na nila kaya. Shepherd them. Care for them. And how should these pastors shepherd the flock of God? Paano? Well, we can get a glimpse of how sa letter ni Peter na to gives them, so makikita natin, gives two purposes of Christ's suffering. Walang direct imperative kung paano, but we can see through the sufferings of Jesus Christ kung paano. First of all, I'd like to address your attention sa 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Sabi dyan, Christ suffered on the cross as a sin offering. Jesus, the righteous, died for the unrighteous to reconcile us to God. That's the first purpose of his suffering, to bring us to God. Second is the second 1 Peter chapter 2:21, where Jesus suffered to leave us an example that we might follow in his footsteps. So maaaring naalala ni Peter ang sinabi ni Jesus sa kanya sa John 10:11 nung sinasabi niya yung shepherd the flock of God. Na naalala niya sa John chapter 10 na sinabi ni Jesus Christ na, I am the good shepherd who laid down my life for the sheep. Maybe that's in his mind nung sinulat niya yun. So, this means a good shepherd, a good elder, a good pastor lays down his life for the church. Pastors are called to shepherd growing and even hurting, suffering, sinning church members sacrificially. Mga kapatid sa Crossroads, may this truth inform your prayers as you consider new elders sa church na to. As we continue to pray for new elders. This is also a helpful reminder sa amin mga brothers, brother pastors, as we continue to serve you faithfully. Also a good reminder for you brothers, if you are aspiring to be a pastor, that you are to shepherd hurting, growing, sinning members sacrificially. But what does it look like to shepherd the flock of God sacrificially? Ano itsura neto? There are two ways. And I'll jump off to 1 Peter to give an argument, there are two ways. First of all, elders are called to teach God's word. Elders are called to teach God's word. When Peter urged the elders to shepherd God's flock, malamang naaalala niya yung time during that breakfast meal sa John chapter 21, where Jesus reinstalled him back sa ministry. Diba? He denied him 3 times, and now Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me? And said, yes. Yes, and yes. 3 times yun ang sagot ni Peter. The third time, medyo na-disappoint pa siya. Pero yung sagot din ni Jesus 3 times, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And what do we feed Jesus' sheep? God's word. We feed nothing. As pastors, we feed you nothing but God's word. It would be foolish to feed you with entertainment. It would be foolish to impress you with a lot of things that we can do, but we are called to feed you with the word. 3 times was mentioned, which means an emphasis to Pastor Peter, who will be leading churches with pastors. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1 instructs us na isa sa mga qualifications ng elders or pastors is that he is able to teach. Now, Peter is not talking about having impressive oratory skills or malalim ang vocabulary. Hindi yan yung sinasabi niya. He talks about men who are able to interpret God's word faithfully and give clear application from its text to the people. He talks about men who are able to do this and to serve God's people well. Mahalaga po ito. He must be able to teach truth from scriptures, expose sin, refuse falsehood, and defend the faith. Bakit? Because wolves are out to deceive the church with their false doctrine and will cause division sa church. That's why they need to equip the church with the word. They need to feed the people with the word, especially when the sheep is hurting and vulnerable. If a sheep is hurting and vulnerable, they are easy prey. sa kaaway. We are easy prey if we're vulnerable. That is why we go to the Word. Pastors are called to defend the faith as they preach, teach, counsel, and disciple. Friends, shepherding is happening right now sa ating corporate gathering as the Scripture is opened and it's preached. Sabi ni Paul kay Timothy sa 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So we are called primarily to preach the word, to feed God's people with the word. Why? Because sinabi ni Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, they know me and they follow me. If you hear God's voice through the word, you would know it is from the Lord. Preach, teach. Second, elders are called to pray. Yun yung second. Elders are called to pray. Una, teach. Second, pray. Makita po yan sa Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The apostles emphasized that their primary responsibility as shepherds is to devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the ministry of the word. Yan pong, yun yung two main things that pastors are called to do. Sa mga members on Crossroads, know that the elders pray for you regularly. Regularly. Ginagamit po namin yung membership directory to pray for you and your family and yung walk mo in holiness, walk mo with Christ. We also encourage you members to join us in prayer. Join us in prayer sa gawain ito. Kung wala po kayong membership directory, you may reach out kay Sally Cruz, which is one of our deacons, deacon nating membership class. And Pastor, paano ako makareach? I don't know Sally. It's in page 18, ang pangalan ni Sally. And you can take her information details doon. So that you would join us in praying for each other as well. Ang mga pastors are called to devote their time to the Word. Reading the Word, studying the Word, praying the Word, and carefully applying the Word in our lives. Nang sa gayon, we can teach, preach, instruct, encourage, counsel, reprimand, and train suffering saints faithfully in the Word. If we don't study the Word, we got nothing to offer. Nothing to offer. Pero which flock should be under the care of the pastor? Di ba naisip yun? Ang daming Christian sa buong mundo. Dito lang sa Dubai, napakadaming Christian. So ang tanong is, to which will God hold us accountable? Well, sabi ni Peter, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. He's talking to churches, which means may kanya-kanyang localities yon. So there are different local churches. Ibig sabihin nito, we are not called, dito sa Crossroads pastors, we are not called to shepherd lahat ng mga Christians sa iba-ibang churches ng Deira. Only those who the Lord place under our care and the means under, and that means is through membership. Now, are you saying, Pastor, that you only pray for your members, you only minister to your members? Well, yes and no. Yes, our primary responsibility is to care for the flock na nasa amin, in our care. And we do that through church membership. Now, also means, no, we also pray for other churches, which is na rin yung ginawa ni Pastor John kanina. We corporately pray for other churches. I meet regularly with other pastors and pray for them. We help one another. Pero ang pinaka primary goal ng isang local church pastor, ang primary responsibility niya, accountability niya sa Panginoon, is yung members ng church. Now, kung matagal na kayo umatin ng Crossroads, I encourage you to commit to a church community. that will care for you, that will be committed to you, that you are able to serve the body, be a member of a church. And I'm not talking specifically dito sa Crossroads lang. There are a lot of wonderful churches dito sa Dubai, in the area of Nandera. There is Redeemer Church of Dubai, Evangelical Christian Church of Dubai, Reformed Baptist Church dito, kay Pastor Rodejo. So many. Of course, we're not pushing away. Kung gusto niyo dito, we're welcome. Kakatapos lang po ng ating membership class where we teach yung philosophy and ministry principles in church and what we believe. So I urge you, wag po tayo maging Lone Ranger Christian. Because you are saved for a community. You're saved to a community. Pastors are called to shepherd growing, suffering, hurting, and sinning church members sacrificially like Jesus. Pero anong dapat tama ang postura ng puso ng isang pastor abang siya'y nagsaserve? Ano ba ang tama, pastor? Ano ba dapat motibo ng pastor? Well, verses 2 to 3 tells us, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. So makikita natin dito yung series ng contrast ng passage, both positive and negative instructions. Kapag naglilingkod ang isang pastor or elder, ay dapat hindi sapilitan. Hindi sapilitan, kundi bukal sa loob. Hindi dahil sa pera. Hindi dahil para sa papuri, parangal, pribileyo, o pasasalamat. Hindi po yun ang motibo. Kundi dahil sa gusto mo talagang maglingkod sa Panginoon at sa kapatiran. At lalong hindi rin dahil sa posisyon. Kaya ako gusto kong maglingkod bilang pastor. Na maghahari-harian tayo at magiging dominante o parang alipin ang pagtrato sa mga kapatiran. Dapat may humility at nagsisilbing halimbawa sa mga kapatiran. This is a good reminder once again sa aming mga pastors. Now, we are to shepherd and lead the church hindi ayon sa kagustuhan o direksyon namin. Kung hindi ayon sa kalooban, kapamamaraanan at direksyon ng Panginoon that the church needs to be led. And how do we know that? Through the Word. We go back to the Word. I was studying itong passage ito. It really humbled me. Because it's really highlighted, so verse 2, that this is not my church. This is not the elders' church. Sabi sa verse 2, shepherd the flock of God. Shepherd the flock of Jesus. This is Jesus' church. So this church should be run, directed, led the way Jesus wants it to be led. Crossroads, pray for your pastors. Pray na hindi kami maging dominante or passive. Pray na hindi kami maging mga hipokrito o sakim sa pera o material na bagay. Pray na hindi kami maging people pleasers, which is a constant temptation. Pray that we would walk in holiness. Pray that we would be good shepherds that we will lay down our lives for you. Pray for our joy in serving. Pray for our joy. Pray that our joy will overflow, would flow naturally out from our love for God and for our love sa inyo. Pray for our joy. Pray that we would be godly examples sa inyo. Pray that we would not long for earthly, fleeting rewards, but an eternal one as we see and be with Jesus sa pagbalik niya. Which is a verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Ito yung motivation why we serve. Ito ang motivation why you want to aspire to be a pastor. Sa mga brothers natin dito who are aspiring to be pastors, to be a pastor, pray that you would aspire with the right biblical motive. Sabi ni Paul, watch your life and doctrine. Pray that we and those who are aspiring pursue holiness. Also, if you're aspiring to be an elder, it should be evident that you're already eldering, that you are already pastoring without the office. Does that make sense? Which means natural na sa iyong puso maglingkod, magturo, mag-disciple, kahit hindi ka pa mismo na instay. Now, it's really difficult for us pastors when someone says, Pastor, I'm aspiring to be a pastor. Pray for me. Tapos, bihira ka namin makita sa church. Or maaari ka lagi nasa church, but you don't serve the body. You don't pray for any of the members. You don't disciple or encourage. That's really hard for us to reconcile. If you really aspire to be a pastor, the first thing you need to do is to love Jesus, love the church. So if you tell us that you're aspiring to be a pastor, do you love the church? If you say yes, are you feeding the church? That's just the same question in Jesus gave Peter. Crossroads, pray for more qualified elders or pastors and continue to pray for your current pastors to be above reproach because meron tayong kaaway, which we'll talk about that in a moment. The elders must be ready and equipped in order to shepherd their members as they face suffering. So that's the instructions, exhortations para sa mga pastors. Now let's talk about instructions for the members, which is your number two and last point. Instructions for members. Humility ay hindi lamang dapat expected sa mga pastors or elders. Dapat totoo din to sa congregation. And he starts with the younger, si Peter, verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject or submit to the elders or pastors. Peter now addresses the biological younger members sa congregation. Dahil sila ang most likely to rebel or to retaliate when persecuted. They tend to do that. Kaya as their elders who instruct them to submit sa authorities in spite of all cruelty and injustices, maaaring ito yung mga batang members na ito, ang unang-unang nagre-resist o nagre-reklamo sa mga elders or pastors. Kaya Peter instruct these young members to humbly submit to the authority ng mga elders. Of course, hindi dapat sila mag-submit kung ang pinapagawa o pinag-uutos ng mga elders or pastors ay labag sa salita ng Diyos or something that is immoral or that the pastor is a false teacher, kailangan mong sundin. No, no. But if the pastors are shepherding you faithfully and sacrificially like Jesus, they should not resist or complain about the direction or counsel mismo ng pastor. Hebrews 13 verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. I love this part. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Alam niyo ba, Crossroads, na meron kayong part in making our work a joy to us? That it says there in Hebrews 13, 17. As you submit. Crossroads, on behalf of the elders of this church, I want to say thank you. Thank you for making our work such a joy to us. Salamat po. Since we started 6 years ago, you have always trusted us. You have trusted our leadership. You humbly submitted to the direction and church. especially when we are leading you to make difficult steps of faith in challenging seasons. Thank you. We're also glad na hindi din kayo tahimik. That's really encouraging para sa amin. Because of your love for us pastors and your love for the Word and your love for the church, there are times that you reminded us and even rebuke us from God's Word. For this, we are grateful. Don't stop. Especially those who have called us out from a place of love. And this comes with growth and maturity in Christ. That takes humility. At ito ang call ni Peter sa mga congregation sa Asia Minor, sa verse 5 to 6. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Sa part na ito, Peter deals with pride. At ito ay related in facing trials and suffering. He is saying you do not need to face these trials alone. And then he alludes or quotes Proverbs 3:34. Friends, pride kills community life. Pride kills community life. Kasi pride tells us na hindi natin kailangan ng tulong sa ibang tao. That's pride. Pride also tells us that ayaw ko humingi ng tulong. And this is culturally appropriate kasi nakakahiya. Baka ano ba sabihin nila? Pride also tells us ayaw kong tumulong. Bakit tumulong ba sila? Kasi hindi kami close. O hindi nga niya ako pinapansin, ba't ko tutulungan? O hindi nga niya ako tinulungan dati? Friend, that is just a voice of a person who is proud. Pride also tells us na dapat unahin mo ko tulungan. Pride thinks about and prioritizes oneself all the time. Ako dapat lagi ang una. Me, me, and me. Mga kaibigan, alam niyo ba ang first step of being humble? Not by saying humble ako. The first step of being humble is to recognize na I'm proud. Alam niyo ba ang dahilan kung bakit God opposes the proud? Dahil ang proud does not recognize who God is and what He has done and what He can do sa life mo. God, the sovereign creator and sustainer of life, He is majestic, all-powerful King. Nilikha niya tayo in His image to display His character and rule and to live our lives only devoted to Him for His glory. But because of our sinful, prideful hearts, we refuse to live for His glory. We want to live our lives for our own happiness, our own pleasure, our own convenience, our own glory. And God calls that idolatry. And He judged the arrogant and the prideful. He judges them. Then, ano ang dapat naming gawin, Pastor? Verses 6 to 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Friends, humble yourselves before God. Kailangan mo i-recognize na you have a sin and pride problem. Kailangan mo i-recognize na kailangan mo ng tulong. You need to recognize your need of Him. Friends, the only thing we can offer God, well, first of all, there's nothing we have we can offer God. But the only thing that we can offer God is our concerns or anxieties. Cast our cares. Kasi anxiety ay isang form of pride. It rejects the love and care of our sovereign shepherd king. Friends, you can trust this shepherd. You can trust this loving, caring shepherd. Ezra chapter 34 in the Old Testament, talks about Israel's bad shepherds or leaders. They treated God's flock harshly and brutally and cared only for themselves. Yun yung mga shepherds ng Old Testament. God said He would judge these proud, unfaithful shepherds. Yun ang sinabi niya. But He also promised to send a shepherd king who would shepherd His people after His own heart. Jeremiah 3. God fulfilled that promise, friends, when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who took on human nature to guide, lead, and feed His people. But the very people He fed and led betrayed Him, falsely accused Him, and judged Him unjustly. Jesus lived the perfect life that none of us could and died the death that we deserved. He died, He was buried, and was resurrected for our justification. He is the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. He is the shepherd that you shall not be in want. Jesus is the chief shepherd who truly cares for His flock. Friends, if you have to kill your pride, turn away from your sins. Repent from your sins. Repent from the illusion na kaya mong iligtas ang sarili mo. At kayo, ang ilusyon na kaya mo mamuhay na wala ang Panginoon. Repent from your sins of pride and humble yourselves before God. Believe in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. Bilang expat sa mundong ito, we will face suffering by doing God's will. And we need each other's help, care, and love. We also need to remind each other of the gospel, the hope that we have in Christ. At lalo na we need God's sustaining grace in times of suffering. Humble yourself by casting your concerns, casting your weary, mga areas na pinag-aalalahanan mo. Cast them to Jesus. God is not a cold, distant, cosmic being. Now after creating us, He left us for dead. Hindi po. That's not our God. God drew us near to Himself through His Son, Jesus. Go to your Heavenly Father, friends. Go to your Heavenly Father. Peter calls the church to humility kasi ito ang paraan to prepare the church for suffering. If you are proud and you're going through suffering, kawawa ka naman. And then he warns them about the true enemy. If there are conflict in the church, hindi po kaawa yung church members or yung pastor. There's a true enemy, verse 8. Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Ang sinasabi ni Peter dito na dapat hindi tayo tulog-tulugan, dapat laging alerto. Dahil si Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. He is out to destroy your faith. Magaling siya mag-intimidate, parang leon. Magaling din siya mag-deceive because he masquerades himself as an angel of light. At ano ang dapat natin gawin, Pastor? Verse 9, resist him. Resist him, firm in your faith. How do you resist him? Firm in your faith. Maging firm tayo sa ating pananampalataya that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Peter calls the church to stand firm in the faith. Malamang naalala ni Peter ulit ang sinabi ni Jesus sa Luke 22. When Jesus told him, looked at him straight in the eye, Simon, Simon, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Hindi nakalimutan ni Peter, and after 30 years nung sinulat niya to, Peter was a faithful shepherd. And now this seasoned pastor is writing to them and giving them the same encouragement na binigay sa kanya ni Jesus to stand firm in the faith. Satan is the great accuser. Mayat maya niya tayo aakusahan sa mga nagawa nating kasalanan sa buhay. He is so good with that. Expert siya sa pag-expose ng ating mga shortcomings. He will tempt us to think that God does not love us, that He has abandoned us, that He is disgusted sa atin, that He is disappointed sa atin. Friends, that is a lie that came from the pits of hell. Friends, trust Jesus when these temptations come to mind. Trust Jesus. Preach the gospel to yourself when it tempts you to despair. That's how you resist and stand firm. Be reminded that on that tree, He died for you and me. And our sins are now paid in full. Kaya we need each other to persevere when we are tempted. We need people to remind us. Resist Satan and stand in faith. This type of suffering ay hindi unique sa kanilang mga tiga Asia Minor, kung hindi sa buong mundo, kung hindi lang sa during ng time nila, even sa time natin. We keep resisting Satan, we keep standing firm together, and we keep trusting in Jesus till He comes. Look at verse 10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. A good news is that God of all grace will cause us to persevere to the end. He will cause you to persevere, not us, Him. In the midst of sufferings, crossroads, and heavy blows na nanggagaling sa kaaway, God will care for you. God will sustain you. God will strengthen you. Kasi no one, not even Satan, can snatch you out from the hands of God. And how are we to respond, Pastor, with this glorious truth? Verse 11 is how we respond. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Like Peter, we respond to this truth with praise. Praise. A suffering Christian because of Christ is a worshiping, praising saint. This is how we prepare for suffering. We praise our sovereign God who is in control of our lives. Na walang nangyayari aksidente sa ating buhay. And so we put our hopes in a God who knows what He is doing. You may not know what's happening in your life. I may not know what's happening in my life. But God does. And He's never wrong. Crossroads, this is how we prepare for suffering. We face it with humility, firmness of faith, and praise. Lastly, verses 12 to 14. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Silvanus is also known as Silas. Maaring Peter wrote this letter through him. Siya kasi po ang carrier ng letter ni Peter, which means siya ang nagde-deliver ng letter sa mga churches sa Asia Minor. Kaya pagkabasa ng mga churches at ng mga pastors, yung letter na pinadala ni Peter, maaring meron silang mga tanong na gusto itanong, and nandun ho si Silas para sagutin. Kaya mahalaga yung nilagay ni Peter dito sa sulat, Silvanus, a faithful brother. Kaya niya nilagay yon. So kung meron kayo, mapagkakatiwalaan niyo siya. Okay? Ang reference sa Babylon dito is symbolic language. Babylon nung time na ito ay wala na. It's already in ruins, so that's why it's symbolic. Ginamit niya ito kasi ang mga Old Testament people sa Israel were sent in exile and bondage sa Babylon. So Babylon now represents people who opposes God's people and opposes God. So Peter describes Rome, kung nasaan siya nagsusulat, na parang Babylon, who opposes God and who opposes God's people. And so winakasan niya ang letter sa pagsabi na the church in Babylon sent her greetings to the churches in Asia Minor. Isa po tong paalaala na sila ay mga aliens and exiles tulad ng mga Old Testament people who were pulled out from Babylon. Kasi mga exiles sila dati. Sila din sa dati nilang makamunduhan na buhay are now pulled away and are now expats of this world. Crossroads, this is a reminder sa atin din that we are expats sa mundong ito. Hindi ho tayo taga dito. That as expats sa mundong ito, we should continue waiting on the Lord. We should be waiting on our glorious hope, si Jesus Christ. And that as we wait, we should what? Stand firm in our faith. Face suffering with humility. Serve one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Fight sin and Satan. You know, ibang-iba na si Peter dito. From 30 years ago, nung bata-bata pa siya. Kasi remember, he denied Christ 3 times. At pagkatapos niyang ma-reinstall sa kanyang breakfast meal with Jesus sa ministry, we can say that Peter did feed God's people. And he fed them well. At tayo ngayong panahon na ito are beneficiaries of his gospel ministry. Mga ka-expats sa mundong ito, may we be faithful like Peter, who faced suffering with humility, firmness of faith, and praise. Will you stand fast in the faith until you see the shepherd and overseer of your soul when he comes? Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for Jesus who reconciled us to you and reconciled us to one another. We're thankful for this short journey in 1 Peter 4 and 5. As we have come to an understanding that we are not from this world. We are citizens of heaven. That's why the world will hate us. That's why the world will find us strange. That's why we will face suffering. Because we share in the sufferings of Christ. And we will suffer for the glory of Christ. And I pray, Father, that this constant reminder of the gospel ay magpatuloy sa aming buhay. As we, once again, have a visual reminder of the gospel as we take communion. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.